Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And it's good to be here this evening. And tonight, we're going to be finishing off Romans chapter 7. And we will be doing Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 25. And that's all we have left for Romans chapter 7. And then next week, we'll be getting into Romans chapter 8. And hopefully this is a blessing for you guys. I know I'm enjoying this so far and enjoying going through this. And hopefully you guys are getting blessed by it. You guys are learning something from it. Hopefully you guys will be able to share this with other people. And I just pray and hope that this would be something that will change, lives, and that lives would come to know Christ as a result of it. And so hopefully, this will be a blessing to you tonight, and hopefully, this will be something that you can be able to take and bless others with. Amen. If I kind of seem a little spacey tonight, I do apologize. I've got a tremendous amount on my mind right now and just a lot of things going on in my life right now. So I guess with that, we'll go ahead and take any prayer requests. If you have any prayers or praises, you can feel free to mention them in the comments. Please do pray for me as I'm going through quite a bit of challenges right now in my life. quite a bit, actually, and just things that I'm praying about and seeking the Lord about on some things. So pray for me. Do pray for my ministry. Do pray for these videos.
Oh boy,
excuse me. But do keep me in prayer. Do pray that God will take these videos and do with them as He wills. And pray that God's will be done. Let's pray for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I know there is a sister that is seeking prayer for her and her family. So please pray for her and her family. She really needs your prayers. There's times that she gets very discouraged. So keep them in prayer. Please keep Brother Joey in your prayers. Brother Joey, he has days where he feels a lot of pain at times, so please pray for comfort for him. His pain is kind of a thing he's got to, his pain is kind of a thing that he has to deal with on a day-by-day basis. And I don't think it's ever going to actually, I don't know if it's ever going to go away or not, but I do know that Brother Joey has pain that he has to deal with on a day-by-day basis. So please pray for him. Also, I do have other people that need prayer for salvation. Please do pray for the family members that I have that watch this. Pray that God would just reach in their lives, work in their hearts. Pray that, that God would just take the truth and just produce fruit in their hearts and, just keep my family. So pray for my family, the family that watches these videos. Pray for me as well. But I think other than that, I don't have any other prayer requests. But if you have any praises, feel free to mention them if you like to. If you have something that you'd like for me to pray for you for, you can feel free to either message me by cell phone if you know my number, or message me on Facebook if I'm on there. If you are on there and if you find me, then you can message me your prayer requests if you like. So that's that. I don't really have any really new announcements. Just the same old thing. Fridays is going to be just a time to dedicate Friday nights to preaching of the Word of God by book, and Sunday nights is usually more of a topical night where I will preach more topical, and it kind of really depends on what I. It really kind of depends too on Sundays what the Lord lays in my heart. And sometimes we don't have a Sunday night broadcast, just primarily because sometimes I will get called to preach at a church. So when those nights happen, there's usually no Sunday night broadcasts except for whatever I preach at, whatever I preach at those particular churches or whatever church I get called to. That's usually in replace of those Sunday nights when I do have those nights. But typically it's going to be Fridays and Sunday nights, and trying to maintain a consistency. Sometimes I know I start a little bit earlier, like tonight, and that's just because I've got a lot. I kind of got a lot going on right now, so I kind of figured I'd start a little bit earlier. We might end a little bit earlier tonight, and hopefully this video will be put online. Tonight as well. By the way, speaking of online, okay, so I know about 3 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, whenever that might have been, I did roll out a intro to the broadcast. I had like kind of an intro that I created for each video. Well, it turns out that intro was starting to cause problems. So we're not going to have an intro. We're not going to have an ending. I'm just going to do my videos as I have always been, and just putting them out there as is. So there will be no more intro. There'll be no more ending. The videos are the videos. I will do my videos as how I've always done my videos, and will put them out as I have always been doing. Okay, so because there's been some issues with the intro, there will be no more introduction thing for these videos until I can figure out a solution to do something creative, and I don't know, I have to figure all that out later, but for now, I'm just going to do the videos as is, okay? So, that is my announcement for tonight. I think that's going to be it for tonight for that. So, we'll go ahead and dive into our lesson for tonight. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a bit of a recap real quick. It won't be a lengthy one, but we're going to just kind of go back and reread some things, verses 1 through 6. And I'll kind of recap some stuff, and we'll dive into tonight's, okay? So, Romans chapter 7, verse 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Now listen. Okay. So last week we talked about being free, made free from the law. And last week we talked about how when Christ died so that we can be loose from the law and marry him. Okay. We also talked about how we talked a little bit about marriage and how that equates to the gospel, as well as how it equates to being free from the law. And so if you remember last week, we got into 1 Samuel. What was it? 1 Samuel, I think it was 25. I can't remember. But we got into the story of Abigail and Nabal, and we saw that it was a that particular account is a type and picture of what we see here in verses 1-6. And so we went back there and we went and reread through that whole account to show you what the Apostle Paul was writing in this first few verses of Romans 7. Okay? Now, I do want to say this, okay? It says in verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay? So listen up, folks. In 2 Corinthians, actually, hang on a second. Let's put your spot there for a second. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now listen, when we become born again, okay, when we come to know Christ, when we come to accept him into our life, hearts and lives, when Christ saves us, okay, we become a new creature. We become a new man. And the thing is, I want you to think about something here. I want you to think about regeneration for a second. Okay, regeneration. Now, let's go back to verse 6 of Romans 7, okay? It says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Okay, it's a new spirit. Newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. So there's a word there, newness of spirit. Okay, so when you get born again, when you come to know Christ, you are made a new creature. And when the Holy Ghost comes within you, the Holy Ghost brings forth regeneration in you, okay? Regeneration. Now, regeneration is the act and process in which the Holy Ghost transforms you and births you into a new man and makes you a new creature. That is what regeneration is. Now, if you take a look at the word regeneration, okay, the word gene is in there. Genes, gene, okay? Now, Peter says, okay, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Okay, so regeneration. The word gene is in the word regeneration. Now, when you are regenerated, okay, you get new genes. You get new DNA. Think about that. Your King James Bible is DNA. Why? Because it's got two strands. Okay? An Old Testament and a New Testament. DNA has two strands. Okay? DNA has four base pairs. Your King James Bible has four Gospels. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four base pairs connect the two strands together. Okay? The four Gospels connect the two strands together. Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we see that this is the Word of God. This is the church's DNA. This Bible is every born again believer who follows the King James Bible and is born of God and sealed with the Holy Ghost of God. they have new DNA right here. Your King James Bible is your spiritual DNA. It's the church's DNA. Your DNA, your DNA that make up your hair, that is called the Book of Life. This is the Book of Life, folks. Your King James Bible is the Book of Life. And it's because of that you can serve in newness of spirit. We are predestined to be in the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. And how does that work? It works when we have DNA. This is our spiritual DNA. If you're watching this and you are born again and you're spirit filled, this King James Bible is your spiritual DNA. Amen. Your King James Bible is your spiritual DNA. And when you become regenerated and when you have that new DNA, you will serve in newness of the spirit and not the oldness of the letter. Do you know why? Because God writes the law on our hearts. God writes the law on our hearts. So we know it is not, we know that stealing is wrong. And because the law is written on our hearts, that law points out our sin and shows us that we need to be saved by the Spirit of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. It is by the Spirit of God that you are to be regenerated. Regeneration is that process of being born again. And is only done by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're not regenerated today by the Holy Ghost, it means you're not saved. But if you are saved, and you're truly saved, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, you are regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, regenerated. Regeneration. Okay? Ooh. You know what's interesting? Regeneration is mentioned two times in your King James Bible, but if you were to put an asterisk at the end, hang on a second. Yeah, regeneration is mentioned two times in your King James Bible. Wow, isn't that something? God speaketh once, yea, twice. Regeneration is mentioned twice. Okay, Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall set in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. What is that? That is grace. That is faith. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that washes us and regenerates us. And when we are when we go through our regeneration, we are being born again. Amen. Now, once you're regenerated, okay, once you are regenerated, you can then you are able to serve in newness of spirit. You know why? Because when you're regenerated, when you are born again, God gives you, he creates in you a new man with a new nature. And that new nature wants to serve Christ, wants to serve and love him. And that is what we saw last week with Abigail and Nabal and David. Nabal represented your flesh. Abigail represents your spirit. And David represents Christ. Amen. So that's what we talked about last time. Now, with that said, let's go ahead and let's dive into the rest of Romans chapter 7. So starting in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Okay? Let me put this another perspective for you. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Do you guys get that? The law was our schoolmaster pointing us to Christ. Okay? Now, but it says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen? Who is God? God is the author and finisher of what? Of our faith. God is the author and finisher of our faith. But after that faith has come, faith. Faith in who? Faith in Christ. Amen. Faith in Christ. God is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ is what? What's his name? Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Do you guys get that? But after that faith has come, faith is only through Jesus Christ. We are no longer under the law. Do you know why? Because Christ is the fulfillment of the law. We are under grace. The law is not sin. It shows us our sin, but the law is not sin. Why? Because God is not the author of sin. Okay? If you don't believe me about God is not the author of sin, let's turn to James. Okay, the book of James. And, let's see here. Gotta find the verse. Okay. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. God is not the author of sin. We sin. Sin is rebellion against God. So for all those who are lost and dead in their sins, you are automatically guilty of high treason of the Most High God. And the reason why you're guilty of high treason is because when you are lost, you reject Christ and you reject His salvation. Okay? God is not the author of sin. Sin is a result of our disobedience to what God said. Okay? Our sin is a result of our disobedience to what God said. And you know what the first commandment was in the whole Bible? The first ever commandment in the whole entire Bible was, God told Adam, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And He said, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And by the way, God is right in what He said, because Adam lived to being 930 years. Okay? 930 years. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And that day that Adam sinned, he died. He didn't quite live to being a full day. He only lived to be 930 years. Okay, but sin is the result of man's rebellion against God and against His commandments. God is not the author of sin. If God was the author of sin, then what you're really saying is that God is the author of rebellion against Himself, which doesn't make sense. So God is not the author of sin. Now, the law was only put in place to show you that you could not keep the law, that you were the law was put in place to show you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior named Jesus Christ. The law was never meant to be kept. It was our schoolmaster pointing us to Christ. You can't keep the law. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And when we become born again, we become regenerated. It means we have new genes. We have new DNA. We have a new man. We have a new nature. And that new man is born of God. And the Bible says that which is born of God does not sin. What that's talking about is your new regenerated man that the Holy Ghost births in you. Okay? Now, in verse 8, it says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me, all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Why? Why? Because the commandment, let's go back up to verse 7. It says, I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. When you covet, you lust. Lust is sin. So when the commandment came, you died. Why? Because the wage of the sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The law pointed out your sin, and when sin was finished, it brought death. Amen? Now, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taken occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Listen, folks. When the commandment came, the commandment, the law, your schoolmaster pointed out you that you were a lost sinner on your way to hell. It showed that you were lustful, you were prideful, you were arrogant. It showed every single sin that you were guilty of, but also showing you that you are in need of Christ. The law was only to point to Christ. It was to show that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. And the law is good, but it can't save you. Amen. Now, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. You know, when you are in this old, ratty flesh, even if you are saved, you are going to struggle with sin. It's just going to happen. You're going to struggle with sin. Your flesh is going to get in the way. You know, things are, you know, you're going to be struggling. But you want to know something? When you're saved, there is no condemnation in Christ. When you are saved, Christ took every sin and nailed it onto his cross. And God poured his wrath out on those sins. Why? So you wouldn't have to go through that wrath. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The law is good, it is not bad, but the law cannot save you. The law is there to point out what you need, and what you need is Jesus Christ. You need to be regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost and to be saved by the power of the Holy Ghost. To come to know what truth is, and that truth is Jesus Christ. Amen. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And you want to know something? We all struggle. We always seem to be doing the things that we hate. Remember, your flesh is Nabal. Nabal was a churlish, evil, wicked man, and the only thing he cared about was serving him, his own self. So puffed up with pride. Just self-serving. But you want to know something? While Abigail was married to Nabal, Abigail wanted to serve David. Now, isn't that the truth? Our flesh is rotten and wicked. And no flesh shall be justified. No flesh will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But your spirit wants to serve Christ. And that's what we were talking about on verses 1 through 6. Okay? We do things that we don't want to do. It is because if it's because of our flesh and our old sin nature. But this is why we have to die daily. We have to say no to ourselves. We have to crucify our flesh. We have to pick up our cross and follow Christ. Amen. We have to deny ourselves and serve Christ. Jesus said that whosoever taketh not up his cross is unworthy of me. Actually, I probably butchered that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, and let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross and follow Christ. Amen. We all need to walk in the Spirit and not by the flesh. And that's hard. Because we always find ourselves doing the things that we don't want to do. Always. Amen. So then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Listen, folks, there is nothing within you. There is no good thing that dwelleth within you. The only thing that dwells within you that can ever be good is the Holy Ghost. But if we just take our dirty, old, rotten flesh, there is no good thing that dwelleth within us. Amen. This is why you need to be regenerated by the Holy Ghost. This is why you need to be born again. Because there is no good thing that dwelleth within us. And let me ask you something. If there is no good thing that dwelleth within you, then how much more are you wicked? Just like the rest of us. We are wicked sinners. The only difference is that between a saved person and a lost person, is that a saved person is a sinner saved by grace through faith. A lost person is dead in their trespasses and sins and on their way to a devil's hell. This is why we need to preach the gospel, folks, because they need to know that Christ loves them. We need to use the law to show them that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. Listen, folks, that is what... Ooh! Okay, you guys. That is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You know what that no good thing is that dwells in your flesh? Is sin. Sin dwells within you. But the good news is, Christ sets you free from the bondage of sin. So you don't have to be bound by sin. But that no good thing that dwells within you is sin that's dwelling within you. That's that no good thing. That's sin. Amen. I find than a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh of the law of sin. I'll read that again. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And you want to know something? That is it for Romans chapter 7, folks. We just got done with Romans chapter 7. Listen, folks, let me close it off by saying this. Okay, as a believer, we're all going to have struggles in our life. We find ourselves doing the things that we don't want to do. And if you're born again today, you know it's true. Your spirit wants to serve Christ, but your old, dirty, rotten flesh gets in the way and you end up falling short and sinning. But can I tell you something? Jesus Christ paid that sin debt on the cross. There is no condemnation in Christ. Amen. There is no condemnation. And it's really funny because we're going to be getting into this next week and we're getting ahead of ourselves. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember what we talked about last time. Nabal is your flesh. Abigail is your spirit. David is represented as Christ. Our spirit is attached to this flesh. And we're married to this flesh. Jesus Christ died so that we can marry Him. But as long as we are in this flesh, we are not yet married to Christ. But once this flesh dies, our spirit, when it goes home to be with the Lord, we are welcome to marry Him. Amen. Because the flesh cannot inherit eternal life, but your spirits will. Amen. This is why it is appointed once to die, then the judgment. Okay, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. This old raggedy, stinking flesh needs to die. So when this flesh dies, we can go home to be with the Lord forever and ever and be one with Him. Okay, death is what separates you and frees you from that law. So when you die, you'll be separated from your body and you'll end up in one of two places. You'll either end up in hell or you will end up with the up in heaven. You will end up in heaven to be with the Lord forevermore and to be one with him. For we are predestined as believers. We are predestined to be in the image and likeness of Christ. Amen. So hopefully that was a blessing to you. Believe it or not, that's all I got. That's all I got for tonight. I think it's a little bit shorter than usual. I'm not even sure if I've even gone through a full hour, but it was a little bit shorter than usual, and that's okay. Next week we're gonna be starting out in Romans chapter 8. We're going to be Romans chapter 8 next week. Okay. I'm not sure what I'm going to be talking about on Sunday, so pray for me on that. Okay, pray for me on that. Depending how things go, I might do, I've been having regeneration on my mind all week, so I might do something on that. So pray for me on that, okay? You pray for me on that. You pray for me for Sunday night. Next Friday again, Romans chapter 8. All right? Not 28, Romans 8. There is no 28th chapter of Romans. It just doesn't exist. Okay? So next week, Romans 28. Sunday, possibly regeneration. Don't know what I'm going to be talking about yet, so pray for me on that. Other than that, I don't have anything else. I know it's kind of a little bit shorter message tonight, but, you know, hopefully it's still a blessing for you. Hopefully you'll get something out of this. Amen. With that said, this is Brother Brandon. I'm signing out for the evening. I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a blessed rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you all on Sunday. God bless you guys. See ya. Love ya. Bye.